I count it a real honor to be here tonight and to get a witness of graduation 2011. I believe that God's got has many blessings for you out there in years to come. You've finished one course and now you're ready to start on another. One journey has already been completed for now, and you'll move on. I'd like to encourage you tonight, and I hope you'll forgive me if I seem a little bit partial towards your graduating class. I believe in America, as well as around the world, we need great men of God and great ladies that'll go out and win souls to Christ and stay true to the book, the Word of God. We're living in a day and age when so much is changing so fast. It's really frightening about some of the things that's happening. And I believe with all my heart that this is one of the greatest schools here in America, probably around the world. I've been in some other countries. I know some other countries that I've been in. It's the greatest school, and it's produced some great servants of God. And so tonight, to sort of place a charge on these that'll be graduating, I'd like to speak to you just for a few moments tonight out of the book of Acts. If you'd like to turn over there, if you have your Bibles there with you, Acts chapter 9, one verse is all we want to use tonight, and we want to use this verse, verse 15. There's some remarkable words found in this verse. We know the whole Bible is remarkable. It's full of truth. The Word of God is something you can build your lives on. This verse kind of stood out to me as I was praying what the Lord would have me to speak about tonight, because I wanted to be able to charge those that are going out. I count it a great honor again to be here and to be a part. I count it a great honor for Dr. Carter to ask me, the school, Dr. Lewis, and the staff here to ask me come and speak here. The school's very dear to my heart. And the church is very dear to my heart. And I'd like you to look with me at that one verse. If you don't have your Bibles, listen to that verse if you would. As we read from God's Word, it says, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Notice especially in that verse these words, "For he is a chosen vessel unto me." Now, I'd like to use these words tonight to speak to you especially about why I believe God chose Paul. Out of many other servants, he chose Paul to literally turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ in his day. And I believe if you'll do the same as he did, I believe God will use this graduating class as well as the rest of you that'll be graduating soon. Your journey's not at end yet, but soon it will be, and before you know it, you'll be out on the field. And I believe with all of my heart, if you'll do what Paul did, I believe from the depths of my heart, God will use you as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord together in prayer before we go into the message tonight. Our Heavenly Father, humbly we bow before you, Lord. We realize tonight that as this class prepares to graduate tonight, and we know their hearts are thrilled, and as they will be going out, we pray that, Lord, thou will just bless their lives in the days ahead and prepare them for what you have for them in the rest of their life, Lord, and their journeys that they must take throughout life. And Lord, we pray you'll bless them, and just tonight you'll give us the words to speak that might be an encouragement, a challenge to help them, Lord, on that path to realize that you want to be with them and want to help them and want to bless their lives and want to use them in a great way. Now, we just pray and ask these things for Jesus' sake and his honor and glory. Thanksgiving, Lord. Amen. You know, to me, the conversion of Paul and its consequences is one of the greatest events of all history. You know, when you think about what Paul did and what short time he lived, and you think about where Paul spent a good part of his time, someone has said when he went into a town, the first place he checked out was a jail, because he knew he was going to be there sooner or later. But you know, thank God that he was in a place like that, because if he hadn't have been, he couldn't have wrote over half the New Testament. Most preachers, you know, if you're here tonight and you're a preacher, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to sit down. And it's hard to find time to do all the things that you need to do. There seems like there needs to be 7 days in one day, you know, to be able to accomplish all you have to accomplish. But I believe with all of my heart, Apostle Paul, he is someone that we can look to tonight, and I believe we can be encouraged through his ministry and through his dedication to the Lord. If there ever was a man that was dedicated to the Lord, if there ever was a man that was sold out to the Lord, I believe with all of my heart it was Apostle Paul. I believe he kept in focus the one main mission that he had in life, to be a chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear his name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. And by the way, he accomplished that in his day. We know that from history that the world hadn't all been conquered in his day, and so we know that there was many places that he didn't even realize existed, but the world as he knew it, he conquered in his day. It's very fascinating when you look at his life. His transformation was both instant and complete. One moment we find that he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against God's people, and the very next moment it seems like his life completely changed. He was given it all for those very same people. Now tonight, thinking about him, let me give you what I believe are five good reasons why I believe that God chose Paul, not only as a called man of God, but why God chose Paul as a chosen person to go out and literally turn the world upside down in his day. And I believe at the same time we need to understand why he'll use each of you, this graduating class tonight, if you'll just do what Paul did. First of all, let me say to you tonight, God used Paul as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down for Christ in his day because of the realness of his Damascus experience. You'll find as you read the text here, it wasn't until after his Damascus road experience that God said about Paul, "He is a chosen vessel unto me." Now, you know the story about Paul. You've studied it in class. There on the Damascus Road, Paul, having been stopped dead in his tracks, he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Having experienced such an experience on that road to Damascus that he never forgot it all of his life. Paul's experience with the Lord was so real to him that it gave him all the strength that he needed to be able to achieve all that God wanted him to achieve in this life. Therefore, Paul admonishes all those that would follow in his steps to be not, he says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." And he goes on to tell us in verse 12 of that same chapter, "For that which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul's experience was real. Now, I know that when you come to this college, one of the questions they ask you is if you know where you're going when you die. They want to make sure that you know the Savior in a personal, by personal experience. But I know as sure as I stand before you here tonight, many who profess to be born again children of God are not saved. My very son was saved here at this church. He was brought up under our ministry. We tried to lead him to the Lord. But I want to tell you, a lot of people make professions that don't really possess the experience. And I want to tell you tonight, if you have had that experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, You know him as your personal Savior. You've experienced that Damascus Road experience in your life. I want to say to this graduating class, don't let anything, anyone or anything shake you from that experience. Because as sure as you leave here tonight, the devil is going to try and attack you. He's going to try and bring you down. He's going to try and stop you from being what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to be and what he wants you to accomplish in your life. Now, you may look out here and you may say, well, it'll never happen to me. There's many that have fallen by the wayside that have said that down through the years. Dr. Carter as well, Brother Stevens, Dr. Lewis, many of these other men that's here tonight, they'll tell you that we've all seen it. You need to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to be used of God as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ like Paul did, then be like Paul and don't let anyone or anything, listen, shake you from your Damascus experience. Secondly, God used Paul as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down for Christ in his day because of his changed perception of himself. You'll find in Paul's letter to the Philippians in the 3rd chapter, Paul describes his perception of himself both before and after his Damascus Road experience. There in verse 5 and 6 of that chapter, Paul tells us how he highly thought of himself before that experience. He goes and he says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. He was a part of the Israelites, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But then after his Damascus Road experience, he goes on to say in verse 9 of that chapter, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You see, it don't matter what you were before in your life. God is not concerned about that. God took a murderer like Paul and made him a chosen vessel. I believe God is looking for such tonight. You know, Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthian church, in chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, he tells us what the real secret is to God's choice of his servant. There he tells us, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen, and I thank God for these words here, because I want to tell you, as I stand here tonight, I realize that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But he goes on to say, he has taken, listen, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And here is a reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. As you go out of here tonight, graduates of this college, Landmark Baptist College, you need to go out of here with the right perception. You know, one of the easiest things it's going to be for you to begin to do is to criticize this school when you leave. You're going to begin to find fault. You're going to say, Brother Stephen, don't do things like Dr. Carter did. You know, and some of the others. You know, and you know, the old devil's going to put in you. I know this from experience, because I know when I left college, one of the very first things that seemed to happen was I began to question some of those men that were there at the college. Those men dedicated their lives, and those ladies dedicated their lives. I remember Chad talking about some of the lady professors here at the college, and especially his English professor, you know, he had a lot of trouble, you know. He took after his dad, you know, in that bad thing. You know, he picked something bad up for me there. But, you know, it's going to be easy, seriously, when you leave here, to leave the school here. Don't leave it here. I look back, one of the greatest men of God that, to me, that ever lived, and there's a lot of great men of God. Dr. Carter's a great man of God, and I thank God for his ministry and his dedication, his willingness when others wouldn't stand to stand true to the Word of God. I want to tell you, you're very fortunate to have a college like this here tonight that you can graduate from. I wear a ring of a college that I'm ashamed to go back to. I graduated in 1975 from Arlington Baptist College, and I had to pull away from the college because of their stands. Some of the great men of God that were once there are no longer there. They've left too because of the stand, the college. See, the college wanted accreditation. Everybody thinks they need to be accredited. You know who gives accreditation? God.
Amen.
You know, when you lose the sense of why the school has been established, that's when the school begins to fall. And when you look out here tonight, listen, you look out here, some have said, well, there's not many graduating students. Well, I'll tell you, little's much when God's in.
Amen.
You know, I believe God's going to use some of you tonight for sitting in this room to turn the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, quickly, let me just say, I believe that God used Paul as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down for Christ because he had come to the realization God had a special plan and purpose for his life. And therefore, he did all that he could do to fulfill that plan and purpose for his life. Many of you come to this college because you believe God called you in your heart and your life, and that's a gracious reason to come. You come because you believe there were godly men here and godly ladies here that would teach you and inspire you to take and go out in the world and try and be something for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, when you leave this school tonight, it's going to be easy to get sidetracked if you don't watch it from that plan and purpose. Responsibilities. You know, some of you have been fortunate. I know my son, he was fortunate, graduated from school, went in right into a church that was able to pay him a salary. He doesn't have to work much. You know, I mean, besides, you know, the church, you know what I mean? In a secular world. That wasn't so in my life. When I left school, but I thank God for the training that he's given me, because he's taught me there's more than 24 hours in a day. You know, there has to be. There's no other way you can do it. You know, my wife, she gets on to me all the time. I'm 63 years old, and I still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm still up a lot of times at 12 o'clock at night. Now, I have to take a half-hour break at noontime to take a nap to be able to make it that many hours. It's not like it used to be. I'm no spring chicken anymore. But what I'm saying to you tonight is, when you get out there in the world, listen, some of you are going to have to go places where you're going to have to do things you don't want to have to do. Don't let anything deter you from God's purpose and plan for your life. Everything that happens in your life, from this point forward, listen, everything that will happen in your life, God has a purpose for it. It's a training time. I think, you know, some people say, well, when does God stop training? I don't believe he stops training until he takes us home to you, Dr. Carter. Education don't stop with the degree you get here tonight. It's only the beginning. So if you want to take tonight to be used of God as a chosen vessel, then you need to realize that God has a plan and a purpose, and God never turns back from that plan and purpose. You may think some of the things that you're asked to do. Some of you may be asked to come here to the school and help out. I don't know, you know. And some of you may look out, no, I want to go out and I want to conquer the world for Christ. You know, sometimes it isn't that God wants us other places. He wants a willing heart out of us that we're willing to do what he wants us to do. And sometimes if it's to pick up a broom, that's what we ought to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill his purpose and plan. Sometimes we need to postpone what we want for what God wants. But I want to share with you another reason why I believe God used Paul as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down for Christ. I believe it was because of his trustworthiness. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And then he goes on to say, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And then it's fascinating because Paul closes this first epistle to Timothy by exhorting him, as well as all those that would follow in his footsteps, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You come to school here, and you may have had your school, I don't know how it was financed, but some of you have had to work hard. Some of you have had it, the school has helped you. And I believe that's a glorious thing. But as you leave this place, you need to understand that there's been some things that's placed in your trust. Now, what had been committed under Paul's trust, as well as all those that would follow him, was the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Word of God. Now, get this tonight if you don't get anything else, because when you leave here, the devil's going to tell you there's another Bible. And if you fall into that trap, you're asking for trouble. You're on your way down instead of up. Now, I know we've got a lot of so-called Greek scholars that think they know everything. We've got a lot of Hebrew scholars that think they know everything. And because you don't know the Hebrew language like they do, or know the Greek language like they do, they think you're ignorant. And because they're ignorant, they think they can walk all over you. But I want to tell you, one of the things that really encouraged my heart is when I began to study Greek, and I began to find out that those so-called Greek theologians that really knew everything about the Greek language and thought they were great theologians and everything else, they began to put doubt on the Word of God. And I began to say, see, they don't know themselves. They're sitting there trying to tell us something that they don't even know. You stick to this book, and this book will stick to you. And the promises found in this blessed book will be your promises. You have been entrusted with a great trust. As you go out here tonight, listen, you've been taught that this King James Bible is the only Bible you need. And when you leave here, the devil's going to tell you it's not the only one you need. You need all these others. Stand true to the Word of God. Stand true to your trust that's been given to you tonight. But I want you to see this last reason why I believe God used Paul as a chosen vessel to turn the world upside down in his day, and why he'll use you if you'll do the same as he did. I believe it was because of his total surrender to the will of God. Now, I know that you've probably had in your classes had to quote this verse of scripture, Galatians 2 and verse 20. You've probably had to learn it verbatim. And I know I've been in this verse so many times in the Word of God, and yet I get something else out of it every time I look at it. Paul says there, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You know what he's saying? I'm alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. He gave all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the life I now live. And we know from church history, as we study about the life of Paul, we know that Paul, as Paul went out, Paul was true to what he had professed here. He lived because of Christ. The things he didn't want to do, he did because Christ wanted him to do. Do you think Paul wanted to go to jail for the Lord Jesus Christ every time he went into town? You know, I mean, constantly he was asking for his books. Thank God he asked for his books so he could write, you know. We wouldn't have all of the New Testament if he had. Now, humanly speaking, if God hadn't used Paul as a chosen vessel. I believe with all of my heart tonight that God is looking for someone that will take and just totally surrender to him and be, in the hour that we're living, the vessel that he wants you to be. I believe God is looking for chosen vessels tonight. You know, one of the things that we forget so many times is the fact that many are called, but few are chosen. You know, there's many people out in the world tonight that are saved, born-again children of God. I believe that in the depths of my heart. I believe with all of my heart they could be a chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ if they was willing to pay the price. But many of them were unwilling to pay the price, and many of them fell by the wayside because they let the devil deceive them. You know, for some reason, the devil always tries to paint the picture that it's always greener on the other side. You look out here and you say, my, look at how God's blessed his church. You know, Dr. Carter, since you've been here, I've been coming down here for a few years. So, I mean, I've seen how that, you know, great servants of God. I've got a fellowship with some of the people here, and some of y'all brought me up to our place of business, and I appreciate that. And we've got a fellowship together, and I appreciate that from the depths of my heart. So, as I look out here tonight, but I want to tell you, it's sad to say, in the hour that we live, many are called, but few are chosen. You tonight that are graduating in this 2011 class, you need to look out here and get determined in your heart that you're going to be a chosen vessel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul, as you look at his life and you look at his past and look at what he went through, it's hard to believe that God would use the man the way he used the Apostle Paul. It gives me hope in my life when I look out what I was before Christ come in my heart, that God is still using me in the hour that we live. You know, our job's not finished until every soul is saved that's on this earth. This is the hour that God has placed us in. And I believe from the depths of my heart, if you are what the Lord wants you to be, you'll become a chosen vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's going to take a total surrender to his will for your life. You know, when I hear students a lot of times leave classes, one of the things when I left class back in 1975, I had several people come up to me and they said, Brother Stanley, where are you going when you get out of school? And I said, you're going back to Germany? I says, I don't know. I'll go where the Lord wants me to go. You know, about a few months ago, I had reached a place in our life, we'd resigned a church because we felt like that we'd gone as far as we go. We felt like we were going to tear the church down if I stayed there because I'd overstayed what I should stay. You know, there's a time in everybody's life, and you need to understand there's a time when God is going to say, you need to move over here. And you're sitting here saying, no, but Lord, I've got a good retirement plan, and you know, everything's taken care of, and Lord, leave me here. But that may not be where God's will is for your life. One of the things they asked, where are you going to go, Brother Stanley? I said, wherever the Lord wants me. Here back a few months ago, I told my wife, you know, Brother Emmanuel, graduate from this school, bless my heart in his ministry down through the years. He sends me a prayer letter every month, even though we're no longer over at the church. And I appreciate the letter he sent me. And I told my wife here a few months ago, I says, you know, we've been trying to go to Gainesville for a long time. We spent a lot of money getting everything ready to go to Gainesville. And it isn't that there isn't churches needed in Gainesville. You know, you've got some fundamental preachers there in Gainesville. And I'll tell you, Gainesville's a big area, but I'll tell you, Gainesville is a place that has a great need. But you can't go somewhere just because it has a need. You've got to go where God wants you to go. And if God tells you stay here and work here, then you need to stay here and work here. If God tells you he wants you to go over to Africa, you need to go over to Africa. Pack your bags and say, Lord, I'm on my way. Amen. And not look out and say, Lord, if you'll just supply the things, I'll wait for you to give me everything. You know, there. I went back to Arlington a while after I graduated, and I didn't go back to the college, but I went down there in that area, and I asked about some students that was there. And I had a student that told me, he said he was waiting on the Lord, and, you know, this other preacher friend of mine, he says, you know, Brother Stanley, he's still waiting on the Lord 20 years later. You know, you're not going to turn the world upside down for Christ. You know, not doing what God wants you to do. Waiting for God to do everything. Do your part. Do what you can do. Present yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to be a chosen vessel of you. You have everything that you need. You have passed the first, the first journey. And now you're about to embark on the next journey. And I believe with all of my heart that God will supply everything that you have need of. Don't let money, don't let material things, don't let anything else stand in your way of you doing what God wants you to do. Somebody's going to look out and say, I'm just not able to learn the language. I want to tell you, in our Greek class, when I took Greek back in 1974, the Greek class had 70 students in it. I was, one of the students in that class. There were only 3 students out of that whole class of 70 students that was able to pass the final exam. And I was one of them. I can't even speak the English language, you know. But God taught me that with him on our side, we can do anything. And I believe all it takes is a willingness on your heart. When you leave this auditorium tonight and go out there to try and do God's will, don't let anything stand in your way. Surrender your complete self, everything you are, everything you ever will be, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll use you as a chosen vessel. I believe that from the depths of my heart. I believe God is looking for people tonight. And you can be one of those people if you'll just do what God wants you to do. Let us stand together, and I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have you to sit, and then Dr. Carter, I'll turn it over to him.